love to have visitors here in beautiful downtown Winbur, Pennsylvania, and the Pilkington family is entertaining an out-of-state guest from the wonderful state of Sweet Home, Alabama. We have Heidi Colpo up here with us from Alabama, and we're showing her around the amazing sites of disaster in western Pennsylvania here. And Heidi Colpo is in the studio with me this afternoon. Hi, Heidi.
Hello, Martin.
So how do you like Pennsylvania so far?
I really love it.
I want you to be totally honest, as long as you love it.
I do. I really do love it.
All right, thank you very much. We have been talking about eternal torment mainly, and how you came from an Orthodox background, like most of our listeners have, to embrace a God who is able, willing and able to save not only all humanity, but the universe. Can you give us a little background as to how you came about to that belief? Was it like a lightning bolt, or was it something you gradually came to understand?
It was not a lightning bolt. It was just a realization that I have always known in my heart to be true, because as soon as I heard it, I realized that I had never really believed that a God that we had said is all love and all good would eventually send most of his creation to eternal torment. So as soon as that was presented to me through several books that I read, and it was well documented in scripture, and it was presented so lovingly, and I said, that's it. That's what I've been searching for. That's what I've always known in my heart to be true.
Do you think people who claim to believe in eternal torment, do you think they actually do believe in it? I mean, can anybody really actually believe in it and go on living?
I think that if they can use it for purposes that they can gain from in their own minds, they say they believe it. But really, it's too horrible to believe. It's not written into our genetic code to believe in something so vastly horrible.
I think that's true. Something unnatural has to happen. You're right. I don't think it is in our genetic code. And something unnatural has to happen to make people believe this and accept it. And I think the unnatural thing is brainwashing. And people get brainwashed. They take their normal minds, then they join an institution, or they come under that religious influence, and they begin to see eternal torment as acceptable. Like, yeah, I guess this could somehow exist under the umbrella of God's love, but man, your thinking has to be warped to come to that. And there's a lot of people like that. I mean, I don't know. I wonder about myself sometimes. In the Catholic Church, I was taught it, but I guess I believed it. I really do think I believed it. But is there a difference between believing it and taking it seriously? I believed it, but it didn't move me. I was calloused, I guess.
Yeah, and it's easy to just write that into a belief system to justify hatred for other people, or a disdain for other people that's so natural to humanity. But when we realize that when our thinking is turned upside down, and we realize that God is all loving, I find that it's easier to look around and be more loving to those who don't think like us. If God loves them and is not ashamed to have them with him and to embrace right. all of humanity, right. all of his creation, that he had a purpose for it, then why should I disdain them? God loves them. And thus, ultimately, I do too.
That really speaks to how foundational it is to have a right concept of God from the beginning. You know, and I think we talked about this as being a foundational truth, that if this one thing is right, and some people call this sophisticated teaching, like, well, you guys teach this sophisticated teaching that God is the Savior of all, but it's not. It's foundational teaching. And unless that's in place, I don't see how you can love other people.
Right, right. And it's important as that foundation, like you said, it's a platform on which you stand, and that's firm, it's unshaking. And from that point, that God does not waste his purposes, then you can go from that point to realize that everything, what we call good or evil, works into that purpose. It's not a separate thing. Mm-hmm. Good is not separate from evil, in the sense that it all works together towards that goal.
Right.
And it also lays a bedrock of trust because how can one truly trust and love in the sense that we're supposed to love and fear God? How can we really love and trust a God that we are always afraid of being smite to hell?
Yeah. Let me pursue that thought of the foundational truth, because there are many camps today who believe in the salvation of all, but they make the salvation of all the be-all, end-all of teaching. And it seems that a lot of people don't ever get past that. In other words, they think they've found the ultimate truth. And don't get me wrong, anybody, it's a huge truth and it's necessary. But I think what you're telling me is you see that as a starting place. Where do you go from there then?
That's right. It is a starting place, because there are people that I've run across and I've talked to that said that God, a loving God, wouldn't send people to hell. And that's how they defend not believing in God. That they said, if that's God, then I don't believe in him. And so they don't believe, or they say they believe in a God, but he wouldn't do that. And it doesn't make them any more close to a personal father.
No, for sure not.
Walking in truth. It's just that belief that it's just simply a belief that he wouldn't send people to hell forever. But at that point, you take it from there and you realize that he does have that next step for you. He has a purpose. And I keep saying a purpose because a lot of times we don't see what that is, but it's that trust. It's knowing that we can trust
him.
Yeah,
you can't trust a raving lunatic.
No, but you can't trust a living lunatic.
You can trust a God who sent his son to do something, and the son actually did it successfully. And God has a plan for everyone and actually accomplished it. That's a God you can trust. So now I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Okay.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Are you sure? This is live.
I mean, think so.
Okay. Now, is there anybody in your life who thinks you're crazy? Somebody from your past? Somebody in that Orthodox church that says, boy, Heidi has gone off the deep end. She now believes in this strange new deity who actually has a plan to save everybody. Anybody like that?
I almost wish, and I really mean this, I wish that the people that come to mind, the short answer is yes, but I wish that...
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you to name names.
No. The people that come to mind, they're
off the air, I'll ask for names. I don't need them now.
Oh, no. But I really crave the discussion. I wish that more people would allow themselves to have open discussion, because they would see that people that believe, I think for the most part, people who believe in this loving Father that doesn't waste anything, that there's an open discussion about him. But when they write it off as crazy and they don't even want to talk about it.
They don't even want to look into it.
And that's the part that is the most frustrating for those who do believe, is to have tolerance and patience and love, that love that I was talking about, for those who don't even want to talk about it or say that's too complicated or just turn their back on it.
Yeah, they say that what we believe is complicated, but it's really not. How complicated is it that Jesus Christ came to do the Father's will, and the Father wills all mankind to be saved, and Jesus Christ accomplished that will? What's complicated for these people, I think, is they're trying to make that fit with everything they learned, and they can't make it fit. And instead of considering it, as you said, which would be great, let's sit down and talk about this. I got some scriptures to show you. Do you think they really don't? Is it that they don't want a bigger God? They have to want a bigger God, I would think. Or is it that they just don't want, they're so set in their ways, they don't want to change their mind?
I really believe that they can't change their minds. It goes with that whole concept that we believe what God enables us to believe and enlightens us to believe. And perhaps they don't believe now because there's that veil. But as soon as the veil is lifted, and because we do solidly believe that someday they will see, it may not be now, but when it's all at the end of things, they will have seen, and we can trust and rely on that they will see. And so it's just a matter of timing that we saw perhaps before they did, but our patience and love still is extended to those people.
Patience and love. Let me write these two words down. Hang on. I got to work on this. Let me see. Patience and love. Yeah, it is hard. We do see it early, that's for sure. And it is the comfort to know. We used to be taught that we had to save these people. And if they died before hearing this truth, they were doomed. And to be delivered of that pressure is huge. It doesn't mean you still don't reach out to these loved ones or to anyone. It just means that you do it now with a sane knowledge and a calm knowledge that eventually, as you say, Heidi, these people will come to God. And of course, He uses us as messengers to bring the truth to them, but we don't have to lose sleep over it.
That's right, we don't.
We don't. We bring it to them once. We bring it to them twice. Paul says after once and a second admonition, then, you know, leave them be. But it's hard to let somebody go, especially when it's somebody you love.
Right.
But I guess God did that. God does it, doesn't He? He's patient. He knows what He's going to do in the end. He just puts up with the means in the meantime. Well, thanks for joining me in the studio.
I really appreciate you having me.
Oh, it's great. The family loves having you here. We're glad you decided to come up for a visit. And we've exhausted all the sites in Johnstown. There are no sites in Windber, unless you want to count the beer cave.
Well,
the beer cave, right? We haven't been there yet. You actually drive in and pick up cases of beer. It's called the Beer Cave, the Drive-In Beer Cave. We haven't gone there yet, so we will take you to the Windber Beer Cave. Until then, again, thanks for joining us, and say hi to the rest of our loved ones down in Alabama when you head back.
Sure will. Thank you.
Thanks.